Hey everybody, it's Shaman Sister Sin, and you're listening to the Meditations and More podcast brought to you by ShamanSpiritCenter.com and LittleShaman.org. That's me, the Little Shaman. Today I wanted to talk to you about something that is very common in relationships of any kind with pathologically narcissistic people, and that is instability. This is one of the most frustrating and crazy-making things in these relationships. One day everything is fine and everyone is on the same page, and the next day, maybe even the next moment, it's like it never happened. Everything has changed and no one is even in the same book, let alone on the same page. You are confused and hurt, not understanding what's changed or how this has happened. The narcissist may appear to be just as confused, accusing you of lying, manipulation, gaslighting, and all manner of other things, adding insult to injury. So what's changed? Why did this happen? Pathologically narcissistic people have a very unstable sense of self. Their identities are fragile and fractured. That's why they can appear to have multiple personalities. They don't, but the parts of their one personality are often split off from each other and compartmentalized. There are usually two sides or areas, good and bad, but there can be others as well. This is called splitting. Narcissists have extreme difficulty with something called whole object relations. This is the understanding and reconciling of all the parts of something, both positive and negative, into one cohesive whole image. This is part of the reason their personality and identity are the way that they are, and it's the reason that they see others the same way. There is the, quote, good Bobby and the, quote, bad Bobby, or the, quote, good Susie and the, quote, bad Susie. There are essentially two different parts of their personality having relationships with what they perceive to be two different sides of yours. This is why when they split, they seem unable to, quote, remember or recognize any of the good things that you've done, things they would have stated with no trouble at all even just a few minutes before. There are essentially two completely different histories of the relationship here, and they cannot be consolidated or understood together. This is extremely confusing for people, but for the narcissist, what's happening now is what has always happened. This is how it's always been. You have always been evil or abusive or not good enough or whatever negative lens they are now viewing you through. It has never been any different. Your protestations that it has been different are met with scorn, contempt, anger and rage, or even accusations of lying, manipulation, and fakery. It can be extremely difficult to hear these things, but it's important to remember that these things are not actually about you. They're being said to you, but they're not about you. They are projections of self-hatred and insecurity brought about by a complete lack of self-worth. The truth is, the way the narcissist experiences you changes because the way they experience themselves has suddenly changed. It really has nothing to do with you or anything you've done. And because to a narcissist, feelings are understood as facts, the truth about everything has now changed. They no longer feel the way they did when everybody was on the same page, and because of that, the facts of the situation have also changed. The ideas or plans or proposed solutions or whatever else they agreed to are now no longer trustworthy or acceptable. In fact, as they are seeing it now, they never were. They may now claim they either never really agreed in the first place or that they only did so because you tricked and fooled them and lied to them or some other scenario that completely invalidates whatever they said before. This is sadly extremely common, and it's often viewed as lying or intentional gaslighting. And sometimes it is, but sometimes it's because the narcissist has split, making them unable to reconcile their past behavior of agreeing or going along with it or whatever they were doing with the image they have of you now, even if it was only a few days ago or even a few minutes ago. Therefore, they must have been tricked or otherwise forced to act out of character. Why else would they agree to anything such a terrible person proposed? The fact that this makes absolutely no sense and might even be factually proven to be incorrect doesn't matter. It might even been their idea. Still doesn't matter. This is not about logic or facts. It's about feelings. Narcissists are unable to form a stable self-concept, which is a big part of how we can create self-worth. They are dependent on other people to mirror things back to them about themselves that they can use to try to form and create these things. Because they have nothing at all upon which to build, and because they're already under attack from a sadistic superego, they insist upon receiving unflagging positive regard and praise, no matter what they do. They demand that their flaws be ignored, their mistakes go unrecognized, and their hurtful choices and behaviors receive no consequences. When they don't get these things, it's experienced as an attack. The deep-seated and often unconscious shame they are constantly trying to avoid threatens to overwhelm them. This often triggers other things, including rage, and it can happen over very small or seemingly insignificant things. In an attempt to keep avoiding these scary or harmful emotions, they project them outward onto other people. I'm not the problem, you're the problem. I'm not mistaken or flawed, you are mistaken or flawed. I only did that or said that or feel that because you made me. Attempts to get them to recognize this projection just result in more of the same. I don't hate myself, you hate me. I don't feel this way, you feel this way. It's like an adult version of, I know you are, but what am I? Because they cannot take ownership of their thoughts, feelings, or actions, they experience them as being caused by or coming from someone or something else outside of themselves. It's usually extremely difficult for them to understand that this is not the case. They generally feel helpless and controlled by those around them, which is why so many of them are power-hungry and controlling themselves. But the more they try to disown these things, the more problems are caused. It's like a boomerang that just keeps coming back to the same place no matter how hard you throw it. The more things they disown, the more power they give away, and the more helpless and controlled they end up feeling. This results in more abusive, controlling, or manipulative behavior on their part, and the cycle just keeps going. It's an outdated coping mechanism that doesn't work anymore and simply causes them more frustration. It makes sense for children to feel helpless and controlled because they are. This coping mechanism makes sense then for a child, and though it's generally unhealthy in the long run, it can be beneficial for the child in the moment. It is not a beneficial coping strategy for an adult. In fact, it's the exact opposite of what an adult needs to do in order to be healthy, to grow, and to evolve. Adults need agency over their own lives. They have to be able to take ownership and responsibility for their own and only their own thoughts, feelings, and actions. When people cannot do that, serious dysfunction is the result. So the narcissist projects their uncomfortable or disowned feelings, thoughts, and actions outward onto their environment and onto other people. And when they do that, the way they see the other person or the situation changes. This is the result of internal changes, but because of the way their dysfunction works, they are completely unable to see that most of the time. Trying to assert actuality into this situation is useless. That was then, and this is now, and now, this is how they feel. That's all there is, it's all there's ever been. That's it. Sometimes people believe that this instability is on purpose, that it's a game created to upset and hurt other people. And there's no question that many pathologically narcissistic people like to play games with others to outsmart them and manipulate them. It makes them feel powerful and in control, which is extremely important to them because, like all abusers, they feel controlled, dominated, and manipulated by the people around them. But any purposeful created instability is a reflection of the inherent internal instability of these personalities. People sometimes assume that if someone is aware of their actions, if somebody does something on purpose, there can't be a mental health challenge. They often don't consider that a mental health challenge could be part of the reason someone does do things on purpose. But it can be. When you're dealing with someone who is pathologically narcissistic, you're dealing with more than a mean person who likes to hurt others. That's horrible enough, but this kind of person doesn't even know who they are, what they want, or what they need. That is the real problem. It's the problem that's causing all of the other problems, and it is much bigger than people might realize. That's the reason we see so much fluctuation in the things most people consider pretty stable, such as their values, beliefs, likes, dislikes, opinions, morals, and all of the things that most of us consider to be defining of who we are. It's the reason we see so much mimicry and imitation from this type of person, too. They have learned to survive by imitating what they see other people do. And they have an unstable identity, so they take bits and pieces from the other people around them, trying to create one of their own. Like the chameleon who changes to match and blend in with whatever is around him, the pathological narcissist attempts to create some sort of identity by mimicking, imitating, or copying those around them. If the people around them change, the created identity will often change too. This can happen slowly or it can be sudden and dramatic. There's no stability with a person who doesn't know what they think, how they feel, or even who they are 1 minute to the next. This is not going to change. It's intrinsic to the personality's dysfunction. People who are strongly affected by toxic narcissism have an unstable identity. This causes their personality to be unstable, which means everything else is too. Thoughts, feelings, actions, opinions, beliefs, everything. If you are dealing with this situation, remember that you're dealing with more than just someone who is stubborn or forgetful or lying or even someone who is mean and abusive. It can be and probably is all of that, but it's also more than that. This is a real problem and it's deep-seated. This can be hard to accept, but it's important to do that because there's nothing you can do to change this. If you want to stay in the relationship, you're going to have to accept that this is how it is. At any moment, on any day, for any reason, this person can decide they no longer want this and just walk away. At any point in time, they can decide you are evil or unfair or not good enough or too good or anything else and simply end the relationship. Abuse, rejection, and abandonment can happen at any time. And so can love bombing, hoovering, idealization. You are never going to know where you stand because you're standing nowhere, on nothing. This is the reality of any relationship with a pathologically narcissistic person. It can either be tolerated or it can't. Just remember that you have a choice. You have the power to decide what you will and will not tolerate and what you will or will not allow in your life. And that might not sound like much, but the truth is that is all the power you need. I hope this clears a few things up for you. As always, I look forward to your comments, questions, and suggestions, so please keep those coming. I am putting on a narcissistic abuse recovery clinic from September 26th to the 27th. It's 10 hours of information over 2 days, going to be hosted live online by myself. So if you are interested in checking that out, there's a link to that in the information section of this video. I take appointments online, over the phone, via text, via messenger, via email, and through Skype. So if you're interested in speaking with me one-on-one, you can visit littleshaman.org and click the book and appointment tab to go ahead and do that. I teach workshops a few times a month. So if you're interested in seeing what we have running right now, you can visit littleshaman.org to do that as well. 3 of my most popular workshops will be in the clinic on September 26th and 27th, just so you know. You've been listening to the Meditations and More podcast brought to you by ShamanSpiritCenter.com and LittleShaman.org. That's me, the Little Shaman. May the Great Spirit bless you and have a wonderful day.